Here we are again coming to God's holy word. So let's pray together. Loving God and Father, as we hear your holy word this day, send your Holy Spirit to equip and inspire us so that your grace-filled hospitality may be the center of our lives. Amen. Brothers and sisters, listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, do you consider Sunday the last day of the weekend or the first day of the week? Stop and answer honestly that question, because the way you answer that one small question may reveal more about your faith than anything else you could say. In many calendars, you will find that Sunday is shoved to the right-hand edge, the final exhausted square of a weekend, a buffer between Saturday's fun and Monday's dread. But that is not how heaven keeps time, my friends. In God's reckoning, the week does not begin with the alarm clock and the grind. The week begins with the resurrection. It begins with worship. It begins with an experience and reception of God. It begins with joy. Throw out the calendar that puts Sunday last, because Sunday is the first day of the week, and that means your whole life is meant to begin again and again with celebration before it ever gets to labor. We have spent our time together over the last 3 weeks on the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we have seen its God-given glory, a day of protest against the servitude of work and the idolatry of money, anchored in creation and fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. But this morning, I want to get practical. I want to ask, in the dust, in the traffic of the 21st century life, with our overflowing inboxes and overscheduled children, how on earth do we actually live this day? And I want to give you two simple conclusions to hang everything on. Conclusion number one, the day is for the Lord. First and foremost, this day belongs to God. Remember how Jesus summed up the whole law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. Over my many years of being a pastor, I have sat with many people who insisted that they had nothing to repent of. And I have learned to ask gently, how about the first and greatest commandment? Have you loved the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? All of it, all the time. I cannot make it through a single day doing that, and neither can you. So the Lord's Day exists to give God what he is owed, because no one in heaven or on earth has a claim on your gratitude as he does. And the Sabbath Sunday is meant to be, was created to be, a day of praise, adoration, and thanksgiving to God. And here's conclusion number two. The day is also for us. This is no grime gray duty. It's a day to rest, to play, to enjoy true leisure and family while we make sure we are not making others work. But also to savor family and friendship and to pour ourselves out in love for the Lord. God has built both of those purposes into the same 24 hours. Give to God what God is due, and give to yourself what you genuinely need. The day is a gift with your name on it, wrapped in the love of a father who knows exactly how worn down you really are. But now let me address a hard question. The one that hangs over all of this. How serious is our worship gathering? How serious is our worship service? Let me be plain and pastoral at the same time here. Deliberately and casually forsaking the worship of God's people is a serious matter. Holy Scripture itself warns us in the New Testament to not neglect meeting together. But hear the heart of the lawgiver. If you are kept away because you are genuinely sick, that right there is no sin. It is simply a loss, a day when you are unable to receive what God wanted to give through the worship service to you. If you are a new mother caring for an infant, a nurse, a doctor on a shift, a police officer on call, or a caregiver who cannot leave the bedside, these are not failures. They are often love itself, the very kind of mercy Jesus praised on the Sabbath. The whole aim of the fourth commandment is love and truth. So examine your heart honestly. Is the Sabbath, is the worship service, a true necessity that keeps you, or merely a preference dressed up as one? And what exactly are we to set aside on this day? Here's the principle. Lay down whatever is slavish to you. Abstain from the labors and anxious busyness that crowd out the worship of God and rob you of the proper rest of mind and body. Notice how personal that makes the Sabbath. For one person, gardening is a pure delight, a place where they meet God in the soil on the green. For that person, by all means, garden on the Lord's Day. For another, gardening is a dreaded chore, one more item on a compulsive list. That person should leave the spade in the shed and rest. Kids, what this means for you is that after you have gathered for a Sunday worship service together with God's people, if you have a buddy and you want to have some fun and play catch or ride your bike, you are free to do it on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for worship, family, rest, and yes, play. Well, with your parents' permission, that is. Just don't make others work. Friends, we are not all the same, so do not have your conscience on your neighbors. The honest test is this: of the things within your control, which ones do you feel compelled, driven, or enslaved to do? As much as possible, for such things on the Sabbath, push those things aside. And the things that you can just as easily do on another day, the errands, the shopping, the catch-up work, the prep for the Sunday meals, move all that stuff to another day. Do not let the tyranny of such unnecessary work steal the day that the Lord has made. Now, the fourth commandment opens with a single loaded word. Remember. Remember. But in ancient thought and its proper biblical context, that word, remember, does not merely mean to recall something to mind. That word, remember, means so much more. It also means to re-experience something. That word right there carries enormous weight in Holy Scripture. We hear it when we have Holy Communion. Do this in remembrance of me, which also can be translated as do this and re-experience me. That is that word proper context and biblical understanding. Brothers and sisters, remember and re-experience what God has done. Remember and re-experience that everything you see is a gift from His hand, placed here for your good and your joy. Remember and re-experience Him as a loving Father who delights in caring for you. And so this day, the Lord's Day, is a day to remember and re-experience not only creation, but also the new creation to come, purchased in the resurrection of Jesus and the heaven that you are sailing towards. This means that this day is not mainly about stopping. It is about feasting. It rises far above mere idleness or inactivity, becoming a genuine celebration for you. And what precisely are we celebrating? We are celebrating that we have reasons for hope. We are celebrating that this vicious cycle that this poor world seems trapped in has been broken. That God Himself stepped into human history out of sheer love to take action on our behalf and pointed us to the day when we will finally enter His rest forever. Hear all this and let it steady you. It is meant to steady you. The most important event in the history of the universe has already happened. Jesus has died and was risen. Therefore, you and I have reasons for joy. Not silly giddiness, but deep, defiant joy, the kind that holds its ground even in the midst of suffering because it knows the ending. God wins, my friends. Death, Satan, sin, they do not. All the wreckage that we see, the wars, abuse, addictions, the cruelty, the drunk driver, the midnight phone call, none of it gets the last word. But God does. And the last word that He gives to us, His people, is truth and love. So remember that on Sundays. And even better, we experience that on Sundays. If you have to, put a sticky note on your bedpost so that when your feet hits the floor on the Lord's Day, you read, "Remember to feast today. Remember to celebrate today. This is the day of joy. Experience God. Receive God. Re-experience it all." The Sabbath, the Sunday worship service, is also paradoxically a day for silence and reflection, which is one of the very means by which we remember and re-experience. In our culture today, we are living through a crisis of silence. We are frankly terrified of it because silence forces us to think, and we would rather not. So we drown every quiet moment and noise. The Lord's Day also calls us to relearn how to live contemplatively, which simply means living with wonder, delight, and awe. And that requires us to climb down from efficiency and have us just enjoy the day. God gives us permission to enjoy the day. In fact, He commands you to enjoy your life at least once a week. What a good God we have who would command such a thing. And here is where the Sabbath day turns outward, my friends, because it was never meant to stop and stay with us. The Lord's Day is a magnificent day for charity, for rolling up our sleeves in love. Just as Jesus on His Sabbaths, He healed. And so we are to spend ours in deeds of mercy, visiting the sick, serving at the soup kitchen, carrying a meal and a word of hope to the lonely and the homebound, and sitting with the grieving. This is also a day to preach the gospel with our hands and our presence, letting our love be the sermon. And the Sabbath is also a day to bear witness. Imagine you are away on vacation with friends who never darken the door of the church. It is Sunday morning in an unfamiliar town, and now you and your family have a choice. You can shrug and say, "Well, we really didn't know where anything was, so we skipped church this morning." And by your silence, you quietly tell your friends or your family and children that your faith bends whenever it is inconvenient. Or you can say, "I'm going to find a church this morning. Do you want to come with me?" In that one sentence, you obey the Lord, receive what He longs to give you, and witness to the people that you love around you. Friends, whether you are here or not, maybe you are on vacation, still, find a good and faithful church to attend worship on Sunday. Plan for it. Friends, am I my brother's keeper? Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Absolutely yes. Now, let me ask a question that haunts me. What kind of culture does not want to rest? Think hard about that. What kind of people are so frightened, so driven, so hollow, they can't bear to stop? A wise old friend of mine, watching me run myself ragged, once said something I have never been able to outrun. He looked at me and said, "Ryan, once you've had that heart attack, you're going to make time. Why don't you make the time now and actually enjoy it with God instead of waiting until your arteries are clogged and you're flat on your back. He was right. Many of us are simply waiting for a crisis to grant us the permission that we refuse to give ourselves. We go to bed exhausted, wake up exhausted, and live that way until one day we blow up at someone we love, melt down, or collapse. You do not have to live like that. Hear it loud and clear. You have permission to rest. Friends, worship God and rest. Here's one truth we forget. You and I are not the Messiah. You and I are not the saviors of the world. That position has already been filled. The best practical wisdom that I ever received came from an old pastor when I was first ordained. He said to me, "There are three parts to your day, morning, afternoon, and evening. And you can't work all three. You are not God, and you cannot run the universe." He was right. Remember that during the storm on the Sea of Galilee, while the disciples were frantic and certain that they were about to drown, Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, his head on a cushion. He slept because he trusted his Father. Jesus had pressing demands without number when he walked on this earth. And he did not try to meet them all at once because he entrusted his life to the Father's care. If Jesus can sleep through the storm, you and I can lay our heads down too. The Holy Scripture says it plainly. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2. God gives his beloved sleep. He gives his beloved rest. He pours out gifts on his people he loves, even while they rest. So build little Sabbaths into your days, and a great Sabbath Sunday into your week. And stop trying to carry a weight that was always meant for shoulders much, much broader than yours. Now, let me make you smile a little bit. A friend of mine ran into a neighbor who asked, "So, what are you doing this Sunday?" He said, "Worship, some time with my family, a little joy and fun, and then nothing. That's what I like doing." The neighbor asked, "But you said that last Sunday." My friend grinned and said, "Yeah, well, I didn't finish the nothing that I like to do." I love that, because most of us can't even imagine finishing nothing. We have forgotten that holy nothing is sometimes the most important thing on the list. Can you remember, I want to ask, one single moment in the past week when you simply rested and did nothing? And before you answer, sleep does not count. Many of us can't truly name a moment. The man who can say with a straight face, "I'm doing nothing and I didn't finish," has learned the secret that the rest of us are desperate to recover, whether we know it or not, or even try to deny it. Let me tell you about a man who learned it and built his life on it. His name was Truett Cathy. He founded a restaurant company you have almost certainly heard of, Chick-fil-A. From the day he opened his very first diner, he made a decision every business consultant on earth would have called insane. He closed on Sunday. Every single Sunday. In an industry where the weekend is the most profitable time of the week, he rightly locked the doors and gave his employees the day off to worship, rest, play, and spend time with their families. For decades, people told him he was leaving a fortune on the table, that no business could possibly thrive by voluntarily surrendering 1/7 of its sales, especially on one of its days where it would have its greatest gains. Yet Chick-fil-A grew into one of the most successful and beloved restaurant chains in the country, often earning more in 6 days than its competitors do in 7. Cathy simply said that he had built his business on biblical principles and that honoring the Lord's day was one that he would never compromise on, no matter the cost. Here is a man who took God at his word, who believed that you cannot outgive the Lord. And it proved in front of the whole watching world that the God who commands worship and rest and play can be trusted with the bottom line. His closed doors on the Sabbath preach a sermon every Sunday in every town where there's a Chick-fil-A. There is something much more valuable than money and someone much more worthy than the market. As we finish this journey through the fourth commandment, let me leave you with a few questions to carry home and ponder and pray over in the silence. Is Sunday the Lord's day, or is it mine? Is it yours? When I wake up on Sunday, do I rise knowing that this is the day the Lord triumphed over sin and death and Satan and shattered the gates of death and hell forever, so that everything else that happens that day comes second, third, fourth, and 28th? And do I consider Sunday the last day of the weekend or the first day of the week? The Lord's Day is meant to help you begin your week with joy, worship, feasting, celebration, and family, resting on a foundation that cannot be shaken. And we are able to begin our weeks like this on the Sabbath because we know that God is good, God is mighty, God is sovereign, and God can do anything. And therefore, we can trust him. With all this in mind, let me press the fourth commandment home one final time in two ways that it can change you. First, establish a weekly rhythm of Sabbath. Do not leave it to chance or mood, because if you do, the world will devour it. Decide now, this week, to set the Lord's Day apart, gather to worship, then guard it for rest and feasting, the people you love, and play. Reorder your week so that it truly begins with Sunday, with celebration before labor, with grace before the grind, and not the other way around. Put the Sabbath on the calendar in permanent ink. Make it a fixed point and let everything else arrange itself around it and not the other way around. Second, make your rest missional. At least sometimes. A Sabbath that curves only inward is a half Sabbath. So turn your day outward. Pour out an hour sometimes in mercy. Visit someone who's lonely. Feed someone hungry. Carry hope to someone forgotten. and let your obedience be a witness. Be the friend who says, I'm going to worship this morning. Come on with me. Be the family whose unhurried, joyful, God-centered Sunday makes the exhausted world around you wonder what you have. Like Truett Cathy's locked doors and the martyrs who could not live without the Lord's day, let your keeping of this fourth commandment quietly proclaim to a restless, striving, frightened generation that the tomb is empty, the chains are broken, sin is conquered, the last word is love and truth, and that there is rest, real rest, for everyone who will come home to God who made the day. So I'll leave you where we began, with one small question that we often think of as just itty-bitty, but turns off to be enormous. Is Sunday the last day of your weekend or the first day of your week? Choose. The answer is not really about calendars. It is about whether you believe the tomb is empty. Because Christ is risen, your week does not begin in grind and dread. It begins in the garden at dawn with the stone rolled away. It begins with worship. It begins with joy. It begins with an experience, a re-experience, a participation in, and a receiving of God Himself. The greatest gift God always wants to give to His people is Himself. Every Sunday, when your feet hit the floor, do not stumble into another exhausted weekend. Wake to the first day of a new creation. Lay down what enslaves you. Feast. Rest like someone who trusts their Father enough to sleep through the storms of life and to pour yourself out for someone that the world forgot. Live that way to a frightened generation, my friends. This is the day the Lord has made. The chains are broken. The final word is love and truth. Will you experience the Sabbath? Will you experience Sunday worship with God's people? Will you allow others to enter God's Sabbath by allowing them to have the day off too? Will you experience, participate in, and receive God? Will you rejoice and be glad in it? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, on this day that you have made, this day of a new creation, this day that you longed for us to enter into your presence and for you to be given to us, this day that you have made so that we are able to rejoice, so that we are able to play, so that we are able to spend time with friends and family, in this day that you have given with so many gifts, God, we actually ask that this day we would be able to stop and we would be able to feast on these multiple gifts. God, help us to never turn ourselves away from such a wonderful gift. Thank you, Lord. You truly are worthy of all praise. For this is the day the Lord has made. Amen.